Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Okay, welcome to New Life Live. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve Arterburn today. And I am right in between Alice Benton and Chris Williams, two of the smartest people I know.
You need to hang out with more people.
Okay, Alice and I are going to have a good program today.
There's the door, Chris.
Yeah, I'll see you guys.
Well, Thanksgiving yesterday, and it was different for many people. I know there were not a lot of big gatherings or nearly as many. There's some people that were in your face. I'm going to do it anyway. But how about the blues? You know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, it's hard for people. And it's amplified by experiencing something different yesterday. How do you battle that?
Can I go into a quick story here? So when the gospel is brought to the Celtic people had this tradition of the darkest time of the year, which obviously being December 22nd, that, again, this is before they knew who Christ was, is that they would have a celebration on the third day after the darkest day of the year. And that celebration, they would put fruit on a tree, and the tree, usually in most villages, which was literally called the Tree of Life. And it was to appease the nature gods for a fruitful harvest come the next spring and winter.
Interesting.
But 3 days after the darkest day was the day that they chose because it was the day that the light increased.
Interesting.
It was to the visible eye. So the whole story of Christmas, going back to not just what we see in nature, but what we see in Scripture, is that Jesus enters into our darkest moments. That's the point, is that when things seem the worst, the light of Christ shines the brightest.
Amen to that.
And so, but practically speaking, what I found is that sometimes we follow rules and traditions that don't work for us. Or sometimes we follow expectations of what this season should be, but the reality is that it's not. My encouragement is make it what you want it to be. It is, if you want to start something new, if you want to do something new, if you want to sell it, like, use your God-given creativity to create something new this holiday season that works for you and the people around you.
You know, Rhonda and I, when the kids all left home, one of them moved out of state, the other one's a couple hours away and works on holidays, Christmas was really different. So a few years ago, we started the tradition, we're going to go see a movie on Christmas, and found out that half of Orange County was doing that too. but now that we have no movie theaters open, we got to figure out another way that we're going to celebrate Christmas together the whole day.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thought.
I also debrief about the bad with a good listener. So I take my disappointment to my husband's a good listener. I take it to him. We look to savor what went well, even if the day went poorly. And then it helps me also when it hasn't gone as well as I wanted to lower my expectations for the next time. So my children are young, and with preparations for Christmas beginning. If I tell myself, Christmas probably won't go as well with my kids as I hope it will, somebody's going to have a meltdown. And it might be me. It will be me. But it helps me to brace myself and to prepare, and then I'm not surprised.
Yeah. My motto these days is forget expectations. just have an expectancy. Mm. Know that God's going to do work. The Holy Spirit's going to move. Just look for it, but don't expect it's got to be something.
That's good.
Well, with that, we're going to be back and start taking calls right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. And before we go to a call, just a couple of quick things. It's holiday shopping time, and most, if you're like my family, most of us are doing it online. There aren't a lot of stores to go to, and the ones that are pretty full and crowded. If you're shopping on Amazon, use smile.amazon.com. I should say, if you're not shopping at newlife.com and are going to shop on Amazon, use smile.amazon.com. That when you designate New Life Ministries as a charity, we get a small percentage, probably a fraction of a percent of what you spend there. We get a check every quarter from them. It was like $1,200 last time we got one. And the more you spend, the more that comes to New Life. So we would love it if you would do that. Also, we have a matching gift, so don't forget to please make a gift, support New Life, $200,000. Once we get there, we'll let you know, but we're not near it yet, so make a gift, please, to New Life. We're going to talk to John right now. John is up in the Bay Area in California, listens on Sirius XM. Hello, John. How can we help you?
Good morning or afternoon. I am calling because I am frustrated, having grown up in the church and really have been a really compliant person, kid. And when I go back in my life, I'm now 58, when I go back and look at every step along the ways, there are a lot of frustrating things because I got married with the idea that I was going to have a great sexual life with my beautiful wife. And what happened was that we got married young and we started to have very heated arguments, and it got to the point where she started to physically abuse me. And I would never ever touch a woman. I would never, and I'm a pleaser. That's the other part of it. And so, and it really, really hurt me. But the punches didn't hurt as much as the fact that she's punching me or spitting at me. Because it's a simple disagreement. It could be, you know, it's just a newlywed disagreements and so forth. And I went for years, and I felt trapped because I grew up thinking, well, the church teaches this, and you know, peace, love.
John, are you still wife. Are you still married to her?
No, and after 30 years that I've done everything, even going to a psychologist, taking medication to change my way to be what she wanted, I finally left. I was actually kicked out, and then I never went back. 30 years. And when I look back now, I feel like the church really failed me. I still believe wholeheartedly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and so forth, but I feel the church and a lot of Christian psychologists don't know what the hell they're talking about.
John, when you notice your anger and your justified resentment for so many of these things that you have been through, what number would you put it at? How strong does it tend to be for you from 0 to 10?
Oh, I have a great resentment for the pain that she caused, yeah. I mean, it's a 10.
A 10, yeah, absolutely. It makes sense for it to be that high and for the church to have let you down as well. It sounds like your parents let you down. John, what's your question for us?
I think there are a lot of men out there that are in the same situation. And I hear a lot about the pornography being wrong, and it is wrong. just like alcohol is wrong, just like gossip is wrong, just like...
And John, what's your question for us?
My question is how do men deal with this after playing by all these rules that we're supposed to do, and still we can't, we're trapped. The
yes.
woman controls the kids, the woman controls everything, and we're trapped. And in my case, the gasket, the blue, was the pornography.
Yes, yeah, yeah, that was your, that I was, so John, let me jump in here for the sake of time. So yes, you are absolutely correct. And so I want to acknowledge that pornography was your way out of the pain, was your way to cope with the anger, your way to deal with
hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hurt was a 12.
Yes, so pain. Every human being on planet Earth has a pain threshold. Once we exceed that threshold, we are going to tap out. We're going to find a medicator. And that really does speak to the heartbreaking part of your story, is that the places you sought out to seek healing for the pain and to work through growth, for instance, setting super strong boundaries with destructive behavior with your wife, setting boundaries with yourself, but ultimately connecting with safe people to talk through very difficult things, to guide through things, and to take the pain and place it in the hands of genuine concern and love and positive feedback for what we need to heal that. It doesn't sound like you got that. And it doesn't sound like you got the recovery that you needed, both for an abusive marriage, but also how to cope with that and deal with that. And so,
okay, you make a very good point, and this is another part of the Christian counseling that I've come across, and I've seen probably 6 to 8 different counselors.
Okay.
Over the lifetime, and even right now, what I face is this: is if a woman gets hit, that's a big deal.
Yes.
But if a man gets hit, what did you do?
Okay, so
I looked at pornography.
So let me. I can't speak to who you've seen or not seen, but 1 + 1 = 2, meaning this: violence doesn't justify violence. Betrayal doesn't justify violence. It doesn't justify any of that. And I'm sorry that you've heard something different than that. And what I would have loved, and what I want you to get into today, is get into deeper relationship with other guys that maybe are struggling with the exact same thing, that know that they're not looking at pornography because they're trying to simply fulfill a sexual desire that's unmet, although that could be the case, but they are looking at pornography as a way out of their pain. But we also know that will only keep the pain trapped, if not increase it. It's a short-term relief with a long-term consequence. And so getting into some deeper recovery, but yes, getting into the fact that, like, looking at pornography doesn't justify violence from your wife, nor does violence from your wife justify pornography. And so we've got to find different, healthier solutions. And you walked into a marriage with an inaccurate expectation. And that is, marriage equals great sex. But there's a different thing that your wife and you didn't realize, and that was marriage equals intimacy, a knowing. And she carried a lot of pain into your marriage, and my guess is you too. And she and you happened to be in the way of her pain.
I did not. No, I did not. I grew up with very loving parents. And a very solid background. And my approach was, it's about love, it's about peace, it's about communicating.
John, it may be that you didn't do hardly anything wrong in your marriage, and your wife did not have any legitimate reason to be able to attack you physically. That was not right that she did that. And I know, John, that as a fellow compliant child and people pleaser, it is so hard for us to bring our anger to safe people. and to intentionally, proactively do that. We tend to stay silent for much too long, and then our anger boils over out of our control. And I think, sir, that you need three things. I think you need to be able to get angry with men who can understand you. I think you need to grieve and feel the pain of what you went through with your wife and have that recognized by the men that will listen to you. And then I also think you need to enter into a process of both forgiving and confessing, because that's God's way of relieving the burden, unshackling us from the past, and moving us into freedom. And all of that can happen with a good group of men that are also seeking recovery. We're so glad you called us, John.
John, the other thing I want to add is I'm like a robot here. I always tell people you need to come to our workshop. And we've got a couple of workshops a week from tomorrow. Either one of those could really help you. We have an Every Man's Battle workshop coming up. It's one day on Zoom. And we also have Brains, Boundaries, Battles in the Bible. And that's, you know, if it sounds like you're stuck. And this would really be a good one for you for that as well. But we're going to, what book should we send John?
I do think we should send him Every Man's Battle.
Okay.
You know?
I was thinking that. I just want to get your...
And I just, again, he brings up, I think, something that's critically important. And that is, we oftentimes, especially with sexual addiction, but most addictions, make the mistake that if we just eliminate the behavior, we've solved the problem. And that's not true.
Right.
The behavior is driven by a deeper problem.
Right.
And if we don't get to that deeper problem, we're just going to have what I call the whack-a-mole effect.
Yeah.
Maybe I get rid of this unsavory behavior, but another one pops up that I might have to. And so mm-hmm. I spend my whole life with behavior modification. I can go on for days about this, which goes like, I'm a bad person trying to get good. Rather than, I'm a person that carries a lot of unhealthy things in trying to get healthy. Jesus, even accused of hanging out with sinners, says it like this: it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's pointing to the fact that we unhealthy stuff causes harm, i.e. sin, and what we need is health.
Right. Well, John, we're going to send you the Every Man's Battle book, and I, both Chris and Alice, really encourage you to be part of a group of men.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to find a group of safe men. So if you don't have a group, invite some of your safe friends to start a group. It's really, really important. Thanks for calling, John. Let's go and talk to Lisa. Lisa calls from Oxon Hill, Maryland. She's a WAVA listener. Hello, Lisa. How can we help you?
Yes, thank you so much for taking my phone call. Yes, so I'm trying to get some boundaries with my husband. We've been married for 24 years, and I've been pretty much the breadwinner throughout our entire marriage. My husband has had a really, really pretty abusive upbringing, and it's led him to a lot of problems, and those problems have brought consequences to our marriage. When he was young, he was abused by a stepfather, and then he was molested by a neighbor, and he became like 17, he was accused of molesting someone, so he went to prison. And my family don't really like him because they feel like I'm doing all the work and that he doesn't contribute. And this last couple of months, he had a business and it went sour. And I took money out of my retirement account to pay for the late fees. We got sued. He had to file for bankruptcy. And I'm the type that has straight A1 credit. And I took money out of my retirement. My family's upset. I didn't want to talk. I normally don't talk about issues with anyone, but it was just so stressful that I had to feel like I vented out.
Okay.
I spoke to my pastor about it, and I just feel like now, you know, he lost the business. He's working part-time, but
Lisa,
he just doesn't make enough money.
Lisa, we're coming upon a break. Give us a question that we can ponder while we go to the break and get back with you right after break. What's your question?
Okay.
What's your question?
What boundaries can I set?
What
boundaries can I set with him?
Okay. Well, that's very helpful. We will get back with you on that. And meanwhile, I want to just remind folks, we have a matching gift right now, $200,000. And if you can make a gift to New Life before the month is over, December is over, we can match that gift. You give $10, it'll be $20. You give $50, it's $100. You give $1,000, it's $2,000. Up until we reach that $200,000 limit. And it's been a year. You know, we've all had strange years, unpredictable, weird years. And it's been that way for us financially. And your gift can really help us. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're talking with Lisa, and Lisa was looking for how to establish boundaries to help her husband or to help her deal with her husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Lisa, you said he's had a failed business. It seems like he's tried things. A quick question. Does he try things that actually have a high risk of failure or a high probability of failure?
Well, that was his first business, and I really encouraged him to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we went by faith. You know, it felt like it was a calling for him to get his own business. We didn't have a whole lot of money to start with, but we wanted to go by faith, but that was a stupid move because we didn't have enough money, but we at the same time we wanted to trust God.
Yeah.
Work out financially.
Yeah, no problem. Well, let me jump in here with that, because like in any creative and entrepreneurial endeavor, it's like part of the resiliency we build is a resiliency for failure. But there's something in your husband, like you've said, you've seen over and over and over, and mostly it's a belief about himself. And he's really found himself in a victim state, which is marked by hopelessness and helplessness. And really the kind of shining definition of that is he's stuck. Now, a victim is always looking for two things, a rescuer and a persecutor. Now, you have filled the rescuer. Now, by the way, the second you don't fulfill your job as a rescuer, he'll put you in the persecutor role. And that's what the rescuer is always, yes, that's what we're always afraid of. But the problem is that the victim state now is in control and making decisions. And I just don't think that the victim state makes very good decisions. I don't think hopelessness and helplessness and despair have clear-minded, good decision-making abilities. And so what I would ask for you to do, you asked the great right question, is what boundaries do I set? Well, I want you to first set a boundary around yourself. And the first boundary is, I need to now stop rescuing that which I'm powerless over, and that is my husband's.
Stop doing that.
Yes, perfect. But then I want you to determine what is most valuable to me. And is
my marriage? My marriage, definitely.
Okay, absolutely. But what kind of marriage? And your finances that you've built over these years, and your well-being. And so the first thing I want to say is that the first thing that you need to steward in your life is yourself. That's God's first responsibility to us is us. And so what's valuable in me that I need to set boundaries around? What's valuable in our finances and how things work that I need to set boundaries around? And what's behavior from him I need to set boundaries around? And I want you to get familiar and comfortable with this statement that needs to be said to your husband: that doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I love you. I love you. I care for you. But this no longer works for me.
And that's just it. I love him and care for him, but I don't feel like I'm in love with him. We've always had problems financially and sexually, especially after he had two affairs.
Okay, whoa. Okay, back this up, friend. Okay.
Yes.
You're in love with a guy who's only in love with himself.
No, I said I'm not in love with him anymore.
Well,
I love
now,
him and I care about him.
So now I'm really confused because you keep talking about a marriage that doesn't exist and it's the most valuable thing to you.
Yes, we've gone through counseling. We even separated after he had the affair. There was a child that came out of the affair.
Oh, okay. So, Lisa, you're
21
okay.
years old now. And it seemed like every time we tried to get ahead financially, something comes up.
Of
like
course, of
child
course.
For her.
Yes,
Lisa,
he
Lisa,
he's out
another,
of control.
He's taken away from the family.
Lisa, oh, sister, I care about you and I am concerned for you. I think you and your husband have both allowed his abusive trauma that he went through to continue to dominate the present, almost as if so much is excused because he went through very real, horrific pain with the sexual abuse that occurred as a child. But nobody is pushing him to move beyond that, to get into recovery, to take responsibility for his life and for the decisions that he's made. Sister,
I've tried. We've gone through counseling.
I believe you have tried.
Lisa, listen.
I believe you have tried, but your continued presence with his lack of recovery co-signs his lack of recovery. So he has been allowed to make very bad, very destructive decisions to your marriage, and you stick it out with him. And that isn't loving to do it that way. It's not loving to yourself. It's not loving to him either. And I wonder...
Our oldest son, who's 19, hates him. He doesn't like what he's doing.
So, Lisa, I'm going to give you one more line. Okay? Husband, I'm out of ideas on how to fix you, but I'm broken, so I'm going to work on me, and I'm going to set boundaries around you. Get into your own work, Lisa. You're carrying a lot of pain.
And when you start talking to other women, you will get more clarity and you will get the strength and courage to take protective steps for yourself and for your son. And that will have an effect on your husband, whether or not he repents and comes around. Strengthening yourself will be for the best interest of your family.
Lisa, we're going to send you Safe People. I think that book will really speak to you and help you find the people to get around you to help you walk through what you're walking through. So thanks for your call. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, before we take our next caller, just a few things here, housekeeping. I mentioned in the last caller that we have 2 workshops coming up a week from tomorrow. Brains, Boundaries, Battles in the Bible. It's an online workshop. It's Dr. Amen, John Townsend, Henry Cloud, Steve Arterburn, Sheila Walsh, one day, you know, with the groups. You don't want to miss this. It's going to help you if you're stuck. It's going to help you if you're angry. It's going to help you if you're grieving. Whatever your issue is, this is a workshop for you. And we have scholarship money if you have a need. So give us a call on that. We also have Every Man's Battle that's online the same day. So, guys, you know what you need. Gals, you know your husband needs it. Call us, 800-NEW-LIFE, and ask about that workshop. Get signed up. Mm. Life Recovery Today with Steve Arterburn, every Thursday at 11 o'clock. So that's going to be a week away, but remember that. And also, remember we have a podcast at iTunes, and we have an app. go download our ministry app, New Life Ministries. Okay, we want to go talk to Susan. Susan is on line 4, it looks like. Susan, thanks for calling. You're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Listen on KCFO. Thanks for your call. How can we help you?
Hi. I just want to say I really appreciate you guys. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to you for, seems like, thousands of years now.
Well, Susan,
just today.
So you started listening to us in 2020.
I'm ready to sign up for a job with you, but I screwed up my daughter so much, so I think I maybe wouldn't be able to be considered. I'd like to know, how do I encourage a relationship with my daughter? When my son-in-law claims that we're having a problem with something that I think that we went to counseling for like decades ago, and when I would say, well, you know, we dealt with that particular thing, he would just come up with something else, and then eventually they sent me a cease and desist order, which of course was not, it wasn't legal, but it gave me the message that they weren't bouncing back and forth as to whether they wanted to talk to me anymore.
Let me ask you a question before you go on. You're saying they, but you said that it's your son-in-law. Have you talked to your daughter?
No. I'm beginning to wonder about whether she's behind this or whether or what.
Because, why haven't you talked to her?
Well, I tried to call her number, and I mean, she lives 50 miles away, and I don't have a car.
Okay.
And the bus doesn't go there. Some people, like Deacon's wife in my church, offered to take me there, but then I decided, well, if they really don't want me there, it could just make things worse if I just show up and say, surprise,
Susan,
I'm there with
Susan,
a cake or something, you know?
How long has it been since you last spoke with your daughter?
I haven't spoken with her since she called and asked for money. Would have been, I'm going to say summer of 14.
Oh, my goodness.
And if I talked with your daughter, and if I asked her, what was the big break in relationship with your mom, what do you think she would tell me?
I don't really know.
What was that problem for which you received counseling years ago?
I had an anger problem. My ex, who we had a tremendous amount of problems with, just all of a sudden one day decided he was going overseas with his wife, and he was picking up a child that he had not claimed paternity for previously. And he had no more contact with my daughter, no more visitation or anything, and he had previously basically been only handling like two-fifths of the visitation.
So, Susan, that sounds so complex, and there's a lot of pain in that side of the story for everyone, you included. But I'm going to sit with you with the fact that you're able and willing to admit that you had an anger problem. And Susan, I'm going to take a guess that it's not had, that you might still have an anger problem, even though you've done a lot of work on it. You sound to me like you may not have been listening to some of the pleas for some attention and some help from your daughter and from your son-in-law. You dismissed it. We got counseling for that years ago. That problem is done. It's over with. It's not over with for your daughter. So I think that the
hold on a second, Susan.
I think that the damage that your anger did back when did there was so much pain for your daughter that I don't think she's been able to recover from your anger, even though you got help for it. Can you see, is there possibly any truth in what I'm saying?
Well, there possibly is. When I was done with my counseling, the lady offered to give my daughter counseling, and she didn't want it.
So, Susan, if there is, so hold on, if there is truth in what I said, where is it? Where's the truth? Where's the truth about you in what I said?
I don't really know, because I feel like I dealt with it, but perhaps I was so involved with dealing with my own stuff and the current things that were going on, because we were in very difficult circumstances at that point.
Well, Susan,
I may have ignored my daughter, and she may have been and tried to just say, everything's fine, because I know how tough it is for you, Mom.
So I'm actually, Susan, really impressed with how much insight you have into your daughter, and you have done some of your own work. But what I'm hearing is that you have carried a lot of relational confusion and chaos for a very long time. And so here's what happens. When we're in environments where there's a lot of chaos and confusion driven by fear, and then you have, I'm just speaking from your daughter's perspective, then you have an abandonment and an abuse. She wants out of there as quickly and strongly as humanly possible. But what she's going to be attracted to is control. So guess what?
That's my concern, yeah.
That's exactly what she's found. A husband who is now over-controlling. And now you're up against not only yourself, her history, her pain, but him as well. And this, again, is a very, very painful experience for you. But one thing that I really want that you to see, and this is what Alice is really helping you with, is there's things in me that still remain unsafe. And how do I become a safer person? And for instance, there's a lot of things in your life that have you trapped. You know, no car, living 50 miles away from them, haven't talked to her in 6 years. The last time she did talk to you, she asked for money. I mean, that's very, one, hard for you. She abandoned you, and the relationship sounded very transactional. There was no depth to it. There's no connection to it. And so I would really just encourage you, in the midst of going through this really difficult time, of how can I continue to work on being, again, a safer person that experiences continued healing and greater empathy from my daughter, and looking for ways, I think, to reach out to her directly.
I there's so much, you know, that I couldn't really I thought about it a lot, and I couldn't really think about what I could bring up that she might be prepared to handle.
Well, and I wouldn't worry about that. I wouldn't worry about what do you bring up. I mean, like, I love you, and I want what's best for you, and I'd love to see how you're doing, period.
Alice,
I've done that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've done enough listening, Susan. Listening both in conversation and in your behavior. And I want to reframe the controlling son-in-law. He very well may be. But I want you to look at him as protective. He is trying to protect your daughter. And he's tried to give you a clue as to why he needs to protect her from you. And it's because that historical work is not yet finished. So going back to a therapist, Susan, to reopen it, and to explore what is it about me that they got a restraining order? That's an important question to ask and to start wondering with a therapist who's willing to give you honest feedback about you. You will make inroads if you're willing to do that.
Susan, thank you for the call. We're going to send you Take Your Life Back and see how that can help you. There's many ways it can help you. It help you learn to respond rather than react to things. That comes to mind right away. But thank you for listening in to New Life Live. We have another call we'll be taking right after the break. We love what we do here. We want to keep doing it. It takes some support. We have a matching gift. Please help us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We are taking our last call right now. And it's Ella from Alexandria, Virginia, listens on WAVA. Hello, Ella. How can we help you? You've been a patient waiter.
Thank you for taking my call. Oh, my God. I'm in the grocery store right now. Let me find quiet.
Hey, do you have your mask on?
And would you pick up some Dorito chips for me?
Like, seriously, I've been in studio for a couple hours.
I'm hungry, too.
So get some bananas. I could use one of those. Oh, I love it, Ella.
Oh, my God. Okay. So I was calling about... I hope it's not too noisy. I just walked out.
Well, we're doing fine right now. Go ahead.
Okay. So I was calling about a previous caller from the other show.
Mm-hmm.
Who had a daughter who was transitioning.
Yes.
Into being a male. And she had called and was kind of torn between her loyalty for Christ and not calling her son, her daughter, a he.
Right.
Because her daughter was kind of like holding her hostage to that. And I was a bit confused by Alice's response to her, advising that if she called her daughter a he, that would not be a sin. And, you know, I was a bit confused with that because...
Okay.
I know that the Bible talks about... having to choose Christ, and where Christ talked about you have to kind of hate your brother. I'm not quoting verbatim, but he who does not hate his father or his mother or his son can't follow me. And then also where the Bible talks about calling good evil and evil good, and just the Christian perspective of persecution and what we do when we're getting persecuted. So that got me a bit confused because I felt like it's like God made her female and advising her to go ahead and call her daughter male, he, because that's what the daughter wanted, was kind of like bulking under persecution. Isn't this the persecution that the Bible tells us that we get to face and where we get to take a stance for Christ? It's like Satan coming to Eve and saying, "Oh no! God didn't say you will die, but you will be
okay.
wise."
So Ella, what's
what? I feel like there is a tiptoeing around the truth.
Okay, so what's
we don't want to offend sensibilities?
Yeah, what's the question? What's the question for Alice or us?
That's what I'm saying. It just got me confused. It's not
okay.
necessarily
yeah.
a question
okay.
as much as an observation.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Alice got you confused. We'll let Chris straighten it out.
Well, but first I want to ask, Ella, it's a good question. It's a good question, and we have some thoughts to share with you. Is there any personal connection to this question for you?
No, there isn't, but I'm a Christian, and I'm not originally from the U.S., but I have noticed a lot of tiptoeing around the truth here. I've been here for over 10 years, and I just feel like Christians should be bold enough to speak the truth, even when it offends. And having her call her daughter a he, and encouraging that when God apparently made her daughter female, I thought was kind of tiptoeing around the truth. And I love you, Alice. Your love for Christ radiates through the radio. But I just feel like there might be tiptoeing around the truth so as not to offend sensibilities. And I was concerned. I just
okay, so I think, so Ella, I think we got real clear here. So I'm going to throw in some, maybe it makes the waters muddier and not clear, but you know, yes, we are to stand for the truth. Yes, we are to call out that which is evil, evil, and that which is good, good. And Jesus also, directly from his mouth, tells us to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us. And it's the same Jesus that says, you know, if you don't hate your mother and brother and sisters and for the sake of me, you're not worthy of the kingdom. So we have, and again, God's continual and clear, abundant call to love. Now, let me just say this. I can speak for myself here. I am not the ultimate authority on Scripture. Well, quite honestly, obviously, Christ is. So we oftentimes are taking our best shot at it. But, and so I hear that, like, man, there is a concern that we are calling things as they're not, and that could be very dangerous. But what we're trying to do is apply principle here in the best way that we know how. And guess what? We could get it wrong. But what we won't sacrifice is living by faith. And let me give you a quick definition of faith to see if it resonates or not. But it really has resonated with me. And faith is a meaningful risk. And that means I'm going to risk getting it wrong, trusting that God's grace is either going to affirm it or correct it, right? So when we're talking about people, it's like, hey, you know, we're taking a risk of like, hey, maybe for the sake of the love of the bond of the relationship that we're choosing because of Christ, we're going to move from the pronoun he to she, because we're applying that biblical principle. But we may get it wrong. But we're going to trust in God's grace as we continue to take meaningful risks. But sometimes what we end up doing is trying to eliminate risk and be all right all the time. But by doing that, we're also going to eliminate faith and grace. So we're going to have to take some risks in what we do and what we say and how we approach things.
And Ella, in my answer to her, I'm guided by Ephesians 4:15, where we are told to speak the truth and to do it with grace. And so with many of the parents that call us with similar situations, we encourage them to take their stand, to speak the truth, and after that truth is spoken, to then envelop their child with grace. And so I could have said that, as I think about your question, perhaps I should have said that more strongly to the caller, of taking that stand once of, I don't agree with what you're doing. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's healthy. And now that I have said that, I am going to love you through it, and I'll call you by the name you want, and I'll use the pronouns that you want. But I have spoken that truth. And so I could have fallen short by not having said that to her in that call, because that is how I see the best way of applying truth once and then an abundance of grace.
Feel better, Ella?
Thank you. Well, I agree to disagree, and I get what you're saying, but we don't want to be too overly gracious that truth, it kind of overshadows truth, right? That's my issue. And I know that Christ is leading us towards the truth.
Yes.
And we're all a work in progress.
So yeah, absolutely.
God bless you for everything you do, and I love you guys.
Well,
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. You said something about overly gracious, and that is a little bit of a yellow flag ringing in my head, because how was Christ overly gracious to us?
She speaks to, I think, this really tough balance.
Yeah, it is a tough balance.
That we need, you know, why we need Christ.
Yeah.
Is because the first chapter of the Gospel of John says that Jesus came in the fullness of grace and truth. One was not sacrificed for the other. He mm-hmm. came with a fullness of both.
Right.
And it says later on, he came with grace upon grace. And so what I find more often than not, if we trust grace enough, it will lead us to the truth.
There you go.
And I'll also accept the challenge, because I am a recovering people-pleasing conflict avoider. And so being called up to speak truth more strongly and not mm-hmm. to tiptoe around it too much, Ella, I'll take that to heart.
I want to leave you with the quote from Maya Angelou. Let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel to say your nightly prayer. And let faith be the bridge you build to overcome evil and welcome good. And we love what we do here. We love you for listening. Thanks for keeping the spirit of Thanksgiving all year. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.